What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, October 21st, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you everything you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, today, it actually does feel like a victory Monday. It was funny. I was getting ready to record this pod, and I was thinking, man, we haven't had a victory Monday pod in a while. They were on the bye week. They lost to the Buccaneers. And then you remember that they lost that they won last week over Cleveland, and it just didn't feel like that. But I do know everybody waking up this morning, all my auto downloaders, all my real ones, are waking up feeling better. And it's like James said in the post-game pod, which you should definitely go check out and is in the feed. It's fun to have fun. And the Eagles win over New York was a fun win for everybody involved. The offense had a really good day. The defense dominated. And I know Eagles fans, especially the ones I saw there, really enjoyed it. So let's get into everything, tell you what to expect today, go over some of the injuries that happened in the game, some scores around the league from yesterday. And then a lot of audio to play for you guys, because a lot of really interesting quotes after the game from really the three main people involved. Saquon Barkley, we didn't probably talk about him enough in the post-game pod. Nick Sirianni, and of course, Jalen Hurts. So let's dive right into it and get into all the daily stuff. First, what is on the docket for today? Nick Sirianni scheduled to speak to the media at 3:15. Little bit of a lower stakes press conference than last week when Nick was obviously coming off of the whole incident after the win over the Browns. But Nick Sirianni will speak at 3:15, hopefully have some injury updates from him on a few players. And no real super big pressing questions for Nick, which I'm sure he's really excited about, but still make sure to listen. It'll be on WIP at 3:15, as well as all the various tweets from my account that will come from his press conference. So Nick Sirianni at 3:15 today. On the injury report, two injuries to two major players, not major injuries. We don't know the extent of them yet, but two starters did leave the game. Mekhi Becton left the game early on with a concussion, and Zach Bond, the linebacker, obviously left with a shoulder injury late in the game. Saw Zach Bond after the game walking in the tunnel. He seemed fine. That isn't always the biggest indication that he'll be okay, but a good sign they didn't have it wrapped or anything like that. So maybe we'll find out more today. And then, of course, practice on Wednesday will give us a good indication. Mekhi Becton concussion, that is worrisome, because as Eagles have found out this year with both Lane Johnson and Devontae Smith, it is really hard to play in a game the following week after you suffer a concussion, especially that Sunday to Sunday. If you're going to Thursday night to next Sunday, maybe you can do it, but Sunday to Sunday is tough, which means when the Eagles go to Cincinnati next week, there's a good chance they'll be without Mekhi Becton, and of course already without Jordan Mailata. So without two of their five starting offensive linemen next week against Cincinnati Bengals feels like what the outcome is going to be. And we'll obviously dive more into it throughout the week on what they'll do once we have a better indication of what Mekhi Becton's status is. But you would think at this point they'll probably put Fred Johnson back out there at left tackle and put Tyler Steen starting that game. He's played really good in two spot-up duties this summer. I thought he was really good on Sunday against the Giants, but you would think it'd be Tyler Steen and Mekhi Becton's spot. So not good injury news on the offensive line as they continue to lose starters. But despite all that, they still had a really good game on Sunday running the ball, which we will get into in a second. But first, you know, it's not time to like watch the scores around the league just yet, but we're not in week one or two, and like the records of these other teams matter. So let's look at some of the scores around the league and where the Eagles stand in the NFC East after Sunday's action. Washington wins again. They smoked Carolina 40-7. They're playing at a high level. They win that game. They are now 5-2, so a game ahead of the Eagles, having played one more game. The Eagles, of course, after that win, sit at 4-2. Dallas Cowboys on a bye. They sit at 3-3. And the New York Giants, 2-5. Their season basically already over. Another season for the Giants that really is not going to be even close to making the playoffs. They obviously had that one year in 2022, but outside of that, things have really fallen apart for them. So all things considered, when you consider the injuries, the four true kind of away games in the first six, to sit 4-2 is not bad. And then you look at the rest of the NFC, San Francisco lost to Kansas City. They dropped to 3-4. Detroit is now 5-1 with a big win over Minnesota, which of course drops Minnesota to 5-1. And Green Bay sits at 5-2 with a win over Houston. And then you add the Chicago Bears in there, didn't play. They are 4-2. And the Eagles are in pretty good standing. They're behind Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Washington, but those teams have played, at least Washington has, and Green Bay, one more game. They get a chance to play Washington, and they have the tiebreaker over Green Bay. So the Eagles are in a pretty good place playoff-wise. Obviously, we're still, you know, probably 5 or 6 weeks away from really keying in on that number one seed, but after back-to-back wins, at least it's something the Eagles can talk about. So let's get into more about what happened on Sunday. First, I should say, as always, make sure you're listening to the postgame pod, me and James, with an instant reaction to the game. And finally, a fun postgame pod. It's been a few tense postgame pods with the way the team's playing, but it was a fun postgame pod, so make sure you go and check that out. But one thing I didn't think we talked about enough in that postgame pod was Saquon. Obviously, we talked about the defense and Nick and the team overall, and we mentioned Saquon clearly. But Saquon Barkley, to go and do what he did to the Giants in MetLife, that had to be an awesome feeling. He talked about it after the game. But first, let me just give you his numbers since we didn't really get into it on the postgame pod. Saquon Barkley, 17 carries for 176 yards, one touchdown, two catches for 11 yards, totaling 187 yards. His previous high for rushing was 180 yards. He's had considerably more. He's had into the 200s a few times when you count in receiving yards. Didn't do a ton of damage through the receiving game on Sunday, but 176 yards was near his career high. His previous high was 180 yards, and he was awesome. I mean, you could just tell right from the jump that he was in it. One of the first plays, he lowers his shoulder, runs right through a defender along the sideline. He had another play where he lowered his helmet. We'll see if another fine comes from that, but you could tell he was running really hard. Was booed throughout the game, even late in the game. When he came back in, he was still booed. So after the game, there was a bunch of different things that he had to say that I want to play for you guys. First, as I mentioned, he was only 5 yards away from breaking his previous career high. Nick Sirianni was asked about that and whether he considered putting him back in to go and break that record. And here's what he had to say.
I usually like to keep my conversations with guys private. Frank Reich was always would say to me, make sure we know when somebody's on the verge of doing something really special, because it's hard to do that. It's hard to recapture that or breaking a record or whatever it is, you know, similar to Devontae breaking the rookie single season record a couple years ago. You know, we really wanted to get that for him. And so, you know, that was on our mind, 'cause I got the word from the box that he was close to his career high, and I sat there with him and I said, listen, here's where you are and here's what it is. And he looked at me and he said, I mean, this gives me chills to think about. Like, this guy is such a great teammate and all he cares about is winning. And he looked at me and he said, let the other guys eat. And I was like, you're special, dude. And he's a special player. He's a special person. You know, I read all the stuff that all the Giants players were saying about him, and no one said anything. Like, they said it was going to be war, but they all love him. And I know this football team loves him. Man, when somebody's selfless, like you talk about team and the things that it takes to be a team, selflessness is a big part of it. And that guy's selfless. That guy's a baller, and I can't say enough good things about him. You know, because I had some apprehension, like, I'm going to put Saquon in right now, or we're winning 28-3. I feel good about putting him in, but I wanted to leave it up to him, and that's what he told me.
So as we learn more and more about Nick, and clearly we've talked about him a lot over the last week, that quote right there is like exactly what Nick Sirianni loves. And we can argue maybe he likes, you know, it too much and all that, whatever. He loves teammate stuff. Like, he loves when teammates celebrate with each other. He loves seeing teammates root each other on. There was a scene in the game, I think it was in the third quarter, when Kenny Gainwell was in there and Barkley was going nuts on the sideline rooting for him. Like, you could see him just like yelling at him, going crazy, waving his towel. I know Nick Sirianni will love that when he rewatches the tape. And that quote right there, I mean, it's a good sign for Barkley. Like, he could have gone in, he could have said, I want to set the record, do it against his former team. It's good that I thought it was good Nick talked to him about it and asked what he wanted to do. And I think moments like that will matter in the future as Nick and Saquon start to build a relationship, since they've really only been together for 5 or 6 months. And it sounds like I'm talking about them like in a real relationship, but in a head coach player relationship, it is good for them to have these moments and to go through these things. So that was Nick on Saquon not wanting the record. But of course, the story of the day was the fact that Saquon was returning to New York and he was asked about the boos. Here's what Saquon had to say about being booed.
How aware were you on the field of the fan reaction? How much you're paying attention?
I mean, it's kind of hard not to hear that. I think I kind of, you know, I didn't help myself when I said earlier the week I didn't think I was going to get booed. You know, they're booing for a reason. It's a compliment at the end of the day. That's how I took it. So,
yeah, he's absolutely right. They are booing for a reason. But as Jason Kelce let it be known on Twitter, and as is painfully obvious, they're booing the wrong person. Saquon, and I think Eagles fans can all be honest here, Saquon wanted to stay in New York. Now, I think that would have been a bad decision by Saquon. It would have essentially ruined the next 2 or 3 years of his career because the Giants won't be competitive. But Saquon wanted to stay in New York. I think if the Giants offered him the same deal the Eagles offered him, he'd probably be a Giant right now. But to boo him when the Giants didn't even make him an offer, and I will say, Saquon has been extremely complimentary of the Giants since leaving. I mean, he could have said, I'm mad that they didn't even offer me. You know, I'm finally with a winning team, blah, blah, blah. I think he's handled all of it really, really well. So I was surprised, or I shouldn't say I was surprised. The Giants fans got it wrong by booing him. They just got it wrong. There's no other way to look at that. And, you know, I think that ultimately they will probably end up having a good relationship with Saquon. He seems like a good guy. I don't picture there being bad blood between the two for a while. But I'm sure it hurt for Saquon to be booed. The other big thing is apparently as Saquon was driving in, he saw his jersey being burned. At least that's what it sounds like. But there were jerseys being burned in the MetLife parking lot of Saquon's. Here is what Saquon had to say about that.
Are you at all surprised by the vitriol? I mean, they're burning your jersey in the parking lot.
That was crazy. I mean, I've seen my jersey get burned before over on social media. But the timing of it, like I'm locked in. I'm listening to my music. And I see like the fans, and all I see is fans just pointing. And I look, and I'm like, what are they pointing at? And I see smoke, and I'm just like, my jersey getting burned. So, yeah, that was definitely different. I don't know if I ever experienced anything like that in my life. And, you know, hopefully I don't experience that again. But in that moment, I was ready for 3rd and 1. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be a wild experience to see people burning your jersey in the MetLife parking lot. You know, fans are fans. Obviously, you know, Eagles fans have booed former players. Every former player has probably been booed when they go there. But there was extra juice in that stadium for sure. I've covered every Eagles game at MetLife for, I don't know, 10 years. And I've never seen such a crowded atmosphere. I've never seen so many Giants fans there, to be honest. Like, mostly it's almost all Eagles fans, or at least the majority Eagles fans. There was a lot of Giants fans there, and it was a really good atmosphere, and there's no question Saquon played into that. So to see the Eagles go into that atmosphere, have Saquon's back, for Saquon to have a big game, it's a big moment in the season. We'll see if they can keep the momentum going next week against Cincinnati, but having Saquon have the big game against his former team, I think is going to be really good for this team as they bond. So speaking of bonding, Nick Sirianni, obviously a lot of criticism this past week, and comes away with the biggest win of the season, a 25-point win. It's probably up there with some of the biggest wins in terms of just margin of victory he's had in his career. I asked him after the game kind of what this win meant to him, considering all the criticism he's been through, and here's what he had to say.
You know, I think what I said to our team, just to let you in a little bit of that, is like, you know, when obviously you try not to listen, but you're in, you know, you do media 7 times a week, right? And so I think the thing that I learned this week, and I just told the team that it happened, you know, a bunch of different ways. There was a bunch of different ways that I learned this week. It wasn't just through the situation that I was in. It was through, you know, I'm not even going to go into all that, but it's like you can be angry, but angry, all anger does is cloud your ability to, if you really are holding on to anger, all anger does is cloud your ability to get better, right? And control the things that you need to control. So what I said to the team is like, I put my head down. You know, when you have criticism, when you have those different things, you put your head down and you work even harder. And the thing about that is, you know, the hard work that the team had and the and that we had throughout the week helped put us in position to be successful today. And the other thing it does, to be quite honest with you, is it unites. You can look at it as a positive if you allow yourself to do that. And so I think that this game is constantly teaching us things.
I think what he said at the end there is really important, and kind of my takeaway from these crazy past 7-8 days is I do think this united the team. I do. Like, leaving MetLife Stadium was the first time I felt, okay, maybe this can be a special season, because I really feel like all the stuff that happened with Nick last week united them. I think it did, like, create us versus them mentality. And I do think that's not, like, ultimately over the long run what this team will have. But I definitely got the sense, like, being in the locker room after the game, seeing Nick talk, listening to Jalen, knowing what Saquon said, just seeing the guys after the game, this was the first time all season I felt like it could be special. Now, should it have happened because of Nick yelling at fans? No, that's probably not the vessel they wanted to turn this into a special season, but it was the first time. Now, next week, they got to go to Cincinnati and keep it going. But I do think this ultimately, this week-long thing with Sirianni will end up, in a weird way, being a positive for the Eagles. Next up, Jalen Hurts. He was asked a bunch of questions. He did come out in support of Nick once again, came out and said, you know, that Nick knows I have his back. And he talked about how Nick does a good job sending a right message to the team. But he was also asked about the fact that for the second straight week, he did not have a turnover. And here's what Jalen had to say about that.
Jalen, you've been very efficient the last two games, and you haven't made a whole lot of mistakes. You haven't turned the ball over. How satisfying has it been to, you know, play that way? And is it part of, like, the bye week reset for you?
Yeah, that's it's just important playing a position, obviously, but just playing team football, playing complementary football. Every team out there in the league wants to take the ball away, be explosive on offense. Defensively take the ball away, be explosive on offense, and then obviously take care of the ball on that side of the ball. And I think, you know, we're still testing our efficiency, and that matters. I think we're climbing in the right direction. We just need to continue to build. Everybody knows, you know, what type of ball we're capable of playing. That's why we're held to that standard from everyone. So the reality is we just need to continue to climb.
So it was funny, when I was driving home, I was thinking, you know, when's the last time they had two straight games without a turnover? Like, they've had games without turnovers, which have been few and far between, but back-to-back games, and I looked it up, if you don't include the playoffs, because they did have no turnovers against the Giants or San Francisco the year they made the Super Bowl, they haven't had two games. So they haven't had back-to-back games without a turnover on offense since weeks 13 and 14 of the 2022 regular season. So not a single time in 2023 they went back-to-back games without turning it over. And obviously this year they haven't gone back-to-back games. It's a long time. That's 21 games off top. No, it's 25 games. So yeah, I mean, having no turnovers was huge, obviously. Like, they end up winning the game by 25. But early on, when the offense was struggling, had Jalen turned it over or tried to do too much or tried to keep a play alive in the pocket that wasn't there and turned it over and the Giants get a touchdown, I mean, it ends up being a dominating performance. But there was about a quarter and a half there where it was relatively close, and one bad turnover really could have turned things around. So I think Jalen Hurts deserves a ton of credit for the job he's done protecting the ball over the last two games. There was a lot I saw on Twitter, and, you know, just watching it, you can see it where you can look down and go, okay, this person looked open, or man, he really kind of got sacked quickly there. I do think there's been an emphasis from the coaching staff of, if you're in the pocket and you're about to get sacked, maybe just go down, because some of these fumbles he's had is trying to extend the play. Obviously the one against Tampa Bay, there's pressure. He steps back up in the pocket, puts his arm back to throw it, and the ball is knocked away. Maybe he's just being more conservative in the pocket. And while that is going to kill drives for sure, it is at least not going to turn the ball over. And so to go back-to-back games without a turnover is a really, really big positive step in the right direction for Jalen Hurts. So lots of positive with the Eagles on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, the 28 points, what Saquon did, no turnovers, Nick having a good week. But we also know the story of the day in a lot of ways was the defense. So on the other side, we're going to talk about the 8 sacks that the Eagles had, all the players that had them, and kind of how each played on Sunday. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. And it's funny, after the game, Jalen Hurts once again brings up the fact that nobody asked about the defense. Hey, which is fair, I guess. But he was obviously very impressed by the defense, and he should be. The defense, while the offense will end up being the story of the day in a lot of ways, again, because of Saquon's return, no turnovers, Nick Sirianni, the defense dominates once again. The second week in a row, they don't allow a touchdown. I have to think it's been a really long time since they went back-to-back weeks keeping a team out of the end zone. Even in some of those blowouts in 2022, you have to think they gave up touchdowns late. So really, really impressive showing by the defense. And I know people will go, it's Cleveland and it's New York, and that's true. Cleveland and New York are two of the worst teams in the NFL. But I don't care who you're playing. If you're going 8 quarters in today's NFL against in not allowing a touchdown, the rules are so slanted against the defense and so set up to help the offense that I don't see how you can't go, how you go 2 straight games not giving a touchdown and not look at that as incredibly impressive. And what's super encouraging is that it came in a lot of ways because of the defensive line. The Eagles finished with 8 sacks in the game. Feels like they haven't had 8 sacks over a stretch for forever, since really the start of the 2023 season. The second half of the season, the pass rush was non-existent. The first 4 or 5 games of this season, the pass rush was non-existent. But the last 2 weeks against, albeit a banged up Cleveland Browns offensive line, banged up Giants offensive line, they've been really, really good. And what's encouraging is that it's coming from all over. It's not just Jalen Carter who dominated against the Saints. It's everybody. The last week, everybody on the defensive line I thought had a good game. And that was especially true on Sunday against the Giants, where the 8 sacks are distributed between 6 players. N'Kobe Dean ends up with 2 sacks. Jalen Carter, 2 sacks. Nolan Smith, 1 sack. Bryce Huff has his first full, like, legit solo sack of the season. Josh Sweat with 1 sack. And Jalix Hunt steps up and gets a sack late in the game. So what does this mean moving forward? It's funny, you always hear that sacks come in bunches, right? Well, maybe that's what's about to happen, because next week they play a Cincinnati Bengals offensive line that's not that great. They play a Jaguars offensive line in 2 weeks that obviously is struggling. The entire team is struggling. And then that's when you have those matchups. I believe that's when the Cowboys and the Washington games happen back-to-back. And we know the Cowboys offensive line has struggled this year. So I think there's real reason to be excited. And one of the reasons is I do think they're just getting a better feel on how to handle these guys. I talked to Bryce Huff during the week, and we, you know, I played that audio for you guys on the pod where he was rushing with, you know, the benefits of rushing with his hands in the ground versus not. And clearly the first sack he gets, his hands are in the ground. Nolan Smith, I think, has improved week over week. He's been good against the run, but he's clearly starting to improve as a pass rusher as well. And you could see that today when he finishes and has the day that he did. N'Kobe Dean, to get the type of pressure he did blitzing. Like, you can just tell Vic Fangio is doing a better job figuring out how to use these defensive guys. And as they get more comfortable and they all start to play together at a high level, the sacks are absolutely starting to come in bunches, which you can clearly see. So the defense, I'm excited to rewatch the tape, have more takes for you guys on what I saw. You know, probably on Monday or Tuesday's pod, and then obviously with James throughout the week. But really encouraging back-to-back games for the defense. And look, this team has a chance to go on a run. I think the Bengals next week is definitely a hard game. But after that, you get the Jaguars. That feels like it should be a win at home, primetime, bad Jaguars team. They can really, really start to get some momentum going. And they're not just getting it on the offensive side of the ball. They're getting it on the defensive side of the ball as well. So that'll do it for today's episode of Go Birds Daily. Thank you guys so much for listening. Let me tell you, driving home, it was so exciting to have everybody be happy again. I know they beat the Browns last week, but we all disagreed on things. Everyone was mad at Nick or what. It was awesome to have just a real fun Eagles experience, and I can't wait for this week and to preview the Bengals game. So thanks again for listening, and as we say to wrap up every pod, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.